The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. Another day, a lot of chaos, a lot of lying going on, no question about that. The big story, of course, is the financial crash in this country. Now, Janet Yellen, being of Jewish extraction, and remember when the bell rings, Jews, if nothing else, will stick together. And I understand, I admire that, they're very cohesive. You ever heard of insider trading, inside information? Well, Israeli firms, it turns out, transferred $1 billion, give or take, out of Silicon Valley Bank right before it was seized by the feds. Do you think Janet Yellen might have tipped somebody off? Just maybe. It's called a Zionist network. They take care of their own. So there's another angle to this thing that just doesn't seem to run out of angles. It's getting worse. Biden, apparently, the radicals in the Biden administration blocked a sale of Silicon Valley Bank, nationalized it, and then blamed Trump for its collapse. So here's another scandal just breaking. They just keep going. They're now allegedly looking into, i.e. the DOJ is looking into, and the SEC, the Silicon Valley Bank executives' strange stock sales about a week before it crashed. Gosh, you think he might have known something? It just goes on and on. And yes, this is all a bailout. And yes, you, American listeners, are paying for it. All of us, we're going to pay for it. Same old story, nothing new. And they're making this money up out of vapor. It's just vapor. There's no money. There's nothing to back it. So they just print it up over time. Actually, they don't even print it. I wouldn't think. They just use their keyboards. So it's really ugly. Now, if there's anyone I'd like to talk to during these very gloomy and rather predictable times, it would be, I couldn't imagine talking to anybody better than Mike McGill. So we have Mike on this hour for all of you to hear, all of us to share his wisdom and insight. And I did talk to Mike earlier today, and he's got this thing completely nailed. He knows what's going on. It's really, you got to laugh. You got to laugh. They weren't, I don't think they were ready for this. This is something that was coming. This is something that was planned. When they do the big changeover to all digital money, all digital tracking, surveillance, social credit scores, all of that, they'll do something like this. They're going to crash the whole thing. I don't think they were ready for this. So we've got three banks, Signature in New York, SVB in California, and that third one I can't remember the name of, but three at least. And there are others that are teetering. I understand that Credit Suisse is in trouble and may be the next one to go down. So we'll see. Hello, Michael. Welcome back. Big day of fun and games.
Credit Suisse stock was trading today at $2.31 a share, down from $175 10 years ago. There is, the Fed has already fronted them secretly this fall about $22 billion in credit default swap lines to keep them afloat. And they're on absolute fumes, and they're a very important systemic bank in the world and a huge player in Europe. The attendant trade losses through credit default swaps and interest rate swaps with these guys should ring a bell, a clarion, a clang, a lot bigger when they go down than this bank out here in the Bay Area. Credit Suisse goes, it will be like a Type 5 tsunami versus a small little earthquake versus this bank in California.
Well, let me tell you something. I learned about Credit Suisse.
Away right now, maybe days as we speak.
Okay. I think you're right. And I was told by someone who is very well connected day before yesterday that Credit Suisse is not going to renew the lease on that huge tower they have in Switzerland, their headquarters. They got this giant building, and they're not going to renew
the
lease.
It cost billions or whatever, and they're not moving into it because they can't afford it. Yes, that is correct. Go ahead, the class. What does that tell you? Also, several large Amazon was building a giant, incredibly expensive center in the Washington, D.C. area with a huge, almost like a monument to multi-storied artistic, architectural marvel in Washington, D.C., and they stopped completely and shut it down.
Wait. Was this a distribution center for Amazon products?
A distribution center along with a management center in a giant multi-phase complex. They're about halfway done with it, and they poured billions into it. It was going to be the biggest thing outside of the Seattle area, their headquarters, and it stopped, frozen. And they said there's no time schedule at all on completing it. It's completely dead. Why? Because they're not doing well. That's why. Amazon actually, if you took away their profit from their cloud computing contracts, which they have with the federal government, they make billions on. Because why the federal government would be turning over some of their highest secrets to private enterprise to have their computing done is that's another question entirely we won't get into. But nevertheless, if you remove the giant revenue from their cloud computing platforms that they have, they might have had negative cash flow last year for all their actual delivery sales. Their margins are getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and their expenses are getting higher and higher and higher all the time. They are not in great shape, and their stock is down a lot this year. Along those same lines we mentioned on the phone today, we just discussed it, Facebook announced today they're laying off 10,000 highly paid employees here around the world. And at the end of last year, they laid off 11,000. That was a 10 or 11%. So combined, they're now canned over 20, 22, 23% of their workforce in 3 months. And as we discussed up on the phone today, these aren't broom pushers. These people aren't, these people aren't just employees at the margin making minimum wage. These people are making a lot of them are making multiple six-figure incomes, and they're living in houses with mortgage payments of $4,000 and $5,000 a month, and
these are upscale, white collar
payments for $1,000 a month. Yeah. And suddenly they're going to have no income, and the average family maybe is four people. So there's 40,000
people. Think about that, Mike. Hold that thought. This is important. The 10,000 people. These are upscale, white collar. All right, and they are paying $4,000 to $5,000 a month. In many cases, all of a sudden they're out of work. Where are they going to get this money? They're not going to get that money.
Yeah, where's it coming from? They're going to go on unemployment, and they're going to collect $500-$600 a week. That ain't going to quite cut it, you know what
no,
I mean?
They're in trouble. I'm looking at a picture, by the way. If any of you want to see this, just type in Amazon Washington, D.C. headquarters. And look at this building. It's half done. That is a wild-looking building. I've never seen anything like that.
It's like the Tower of Babel or something. I mean,
it does exactly look like the Tower of Babel, but a little more up stylistically.
It's some sort of a satanic edifice or something.
There's something going on with that image. Something very definitely going on there. I don't know.
It's no crap.
Wow.
It's hilarious when you think about it, but you know, in any case,
crazy.
That's a good thing. I got a stinking feeling it's never going to be completed. That's what I believe. You know,
or the Saudis will come in and complete it.
The Saudis may come in there. Yeah, they might.
Who knows?
Aramco.
That is wild.
Record.
I've never seen a building like that.
I wasn't either.
It looks like a. What does it look like? All right, hold on. We got time here. What does it look like? It looks like a swirled soft ice cream cone from Dairy Queen, but it's all glass and steel. A swirly top, right? Sort of. I've never seen a building like that. Wild. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, downtown San Francisco, there's three or four gigantic, enormous office buildings, 40, 50, stories tall, that the Chinese invested in. They're halfway done, just sitting there. There are a lot of them downtown that are empty. There's no funding for it. There's nobody going to rent it. Eventually they'll have to tear them down because they're just filling the holes in the ground. And so this is going on right now. Office rental vacancy in the United States and big cities is hitting 47%. Anything above 10 is just fatal.
Commercial real estate offices 47%, 50% vacant. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the deal. You know, commercial space like that, mortgage debt on that, I don't know. If you add it all together, I think that market is $2.5-3 trillion. And half the people are not renting there. So what's going to happen? That means all the lenders of that, banks and all the other investment funds like pension plans and all these groups that invest in that, these REITs, real estate investment trusts, they're all stuck for that. We're talking some trillions here. This is not recovering at all. It's not coming back. They're now trying to discuss how they can convert these 50 and 60 story office buildings into condominiums, which is just a joke. I mean, we have concrete floors and walls in these, boys and girls. How are you going to run new plumbing through that? You know what I'm talking about? How are you going to put showers and hot tubs and all that? The thought of it is hilarious. I've been remodeling houses and buildings since I was in high school, and I'm just telling you, that's a joke.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's never going to happen. Never. They're going to sit there, and they're going to crumble and decay. And eventually, who knows what will happen to them. But they were not going to be a productive entity. There's no question. That's over with. So on with this little banking situation we have here, which is just purely endemic of the tremendous greed and corruption in this society. But I thought, Jeff, for your listeners, and I thought they might find this interesting because you do, Jeff, you've been right. You always said, I have the most intelligent listening audience of any program on TV or radio in the world. And you know what? From the fine clients we got, we agree entirely. So I thought your listeners might like to share. We'll start the program trying to establish a little bit of a basis of what's really going on in the mindset or in the gestalt, if you will, of how this nation has been run for a long time by some quotes by the great Thomas Jefferson. These were written in the eighteen teens mostly. One of them was a letter to
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Cooper in 1840. Thomas Jefferson. One was a letter to John Taylor in 1816. So these are three or four quotes on banking and corporate collusion. In other words, the fascist model which we have now. So here's a quote from Jefferson. It's to John, and I'm going to read it. These are two quotes together to John Taylor. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, which we had, of course, raging, and until recently, then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around the banks, will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Another quote. I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but a swindle, is but swindling futurity on a large scale. Another quote written to Thomas Cooper in 1814. Everything predicted by the enemy of the banks in the beginning is now coming to pass. We are to be ruined now by the deluge of bank paper. It is cruel that such revolutions in private fortunes should be at the mercy of avaricious adventurers who, instead of employing their capital, if any they have, in manufacturing, commerce, and other useful pursuits, make it an instrument to burden all the interchanges of property with their swindling profits, profits which are the price of no useful industry of theirs. And lastly, the art and mystery of banks is established on the principle that private debts are a public blessing, that the evidence of those private debts called banknotes become active capital, and ailment, he means to make sick, the whole commerce, manufacturers, and agriculture of the entire United States. Here are a set of people, for instance, who have bestowed upon us the great blessing of running in our debt about $200 million without our knowing who they are, where they are, and what property they have to pay this debt when called upon. So there you go. We don't know who runs all these banks. The average American couldn't tell you, you know, anything about what's going on. They have no clue. They don't know. And that's the whole idea. They don't want people to know. They continue to scam. It's been going on since the 1800s. And we're two centuries later, and we're still deep into it. So I just feel I should share that because, it shows how prescient the Founding Fathers was. And it's shameful that anybody should denigrate those people. Are you kidding me? They're the most gifted, intelligent people that this nation has ever seen.
Look what we have now. Look what we have now compared to what we had in the beginning when this country was created. Those were brilliant, wise, sage minds at work. What do we have now?
My favorite,
demented, degenerated, perverted, despicable scum.
Perverted scum. Yeah, I know. Complete, just little idiots. Jeff, I like Ayn Rand's lovely quote from her great essay in 1960 for the New Intellectual. I have this memorized. She said, America's founding fathers were her first true intellectuals, and .. You know, and so far her last.
So terrific!
I thought that was just wonderful because it's about true. You know, so So let's get on to enough of my rambling. I just felt like sharing that because sometimes I think we need to know what we have to get back to, and to remember. I like a quote by Winston Churchill said, "The further we can look to the past, the further we can look to the future." And I don't like Churchill that much, but once in a while we came up with a great aphorism, and that's one of them, which is important that we understand the pivotal foundations of
the
this
present
country
is,
and the value structure to be able to make informed decisions. You know,
totally right. The present is supposed to be built upon the rock hard foundation of the past. Not this present. No.
To go, I was looking, Jeff, on all this banking thing. It's so complex. Not, it is very complex, but I ran across an article that was published today in the Mises Institute, named after the great libertarian Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises. And it's so good, and it summarizes it so perfectly well that I highlighted just certain parts of it. And after the commercial break, it's coming up in a couple of minutes. I'm just gonna refer and go through this because, you know, some I'm gonna read directly and then throw some anecdotes in here because it's a perfect synopsis of what went on with this. It's the best I've read, and I've read about 150 of them in the last 4 days. So okay. I'm just going to go through it because I don't know how to bring it to your listeners more adroitly than what this person did. I can't improve upon it in the limited time I have. So
no,
after
good.
The commercial, I'd like to just go through
Mike,
that.
If you would like, we can do an extra 25 minutes tonight if you want to go because there's so much to talk about. So we can go an extra 30 minutes total if you'd like.
No, yeah, I think we could do that. I mean, there's a lot to be going on.
Yeah, I have questions about gold and all these other things that are related to this, either directly or indirectly. Bitcoin is up to 26,000 now. I don't know what percentage that is, but Bitcoin, I've been told that Bitcoin was not done by any measure, and it was going to make a big run at some point. I don't think now is the planned time for that, but nonetheless, it is responding very favorably, and it should.
Gold was up 2% on Friday, and it's held really good over 1,900. It's moved up in about 7-8 days. You're $100 and looking very, very solid. The dollar index is finally beginning to give way here, just because the credit situation in the United States is the worst of any country in the world, next to China. I mean, we're just in terrible shape, and nobody wants to stay. And that's the bottom line of it. So,
there's another subject. Is China in bad credit debt? Who do they owe to? They're the international banksters?
They owe a lot to their own people. You know, in China, interestingly, in the United States.
Okay, hold that thought, Micah. Hold that thought. Yeah, hold that thought. We got to take a break here. Let's get this out of the way.
We'll
come back and pursue this. Mike McGill. LibertyGoldAndSilver.com. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Mike McGill about this three-ring circus. Oh, it's more than three. It's crazy. Just a quick aside here, the U.S. was flying one of its Reaper drones over the Black Sea. Apparently, they got inside of Crimea's international boundary, waterline, so to speak, and two Russian, fighter jets?
SU-27s.
Okay. The 27s went up and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't want to shoot it down, so they dumped fuel on it, which is kind of funny. And it went into the drink and broke up. And guess who was right on the scene and got all the wreckage? The Russians. They collected all the wreckage from the Reaper drone, and there'll be a little bit of a bonanza there for them in terms of understanding the technology and
somehow mistakenly had all his transponders turned off, so it was flying silently, of course.
That's what they do. So we're the ones with the dirty hands over there, and that's been
worst.
Abundantly clear to the world. This is we're behind
dirty
all this
and bloody.
Crap. Bloody. Okay, so we've got Moody's has cut its outlook now on the entire U.S. banking system to a negative, citing rapidly deteriorating operating environment. What's that mean, briefly?
I got the article. Help me, funny Jeff. We great minds think alike. I have it right here in my top the article you see CNBC breaking this afternoon here, actually about noon today, Moody's cuts outlook on U.S. banking system to negative, citing rapidly deteriorating operating environment. Uh-huh. That's kind of a strange euphemism. What is an operating environment? What does that really mean?
It's called American business and financial culture, I'd say. The whole damn thing.
That's what it means. It's called swindle and grift and graft. That's what it's called. And
right.
This is a very powerful article. I mean, this is coming here on CNBC. Moody's Investor Service cut its view on the entire banking system to negative from stable. The whole thing. I mean, Bank of America, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, whatever, Wells Fargo, the stagecoach bank that robs you. That's our official little humor out of we've invented here at Liberty Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
And the whole deal is one just gigantic, terrible thing. Now, first of all, these bond rating agencies, these rating agencies, Moody's and what are the other two? Let me think. I'll think. Well, S&P is one, and there's one other one that escapes me. But they normally are very, very delicate about attacking any of the institutions that actually pay them to grade them, if you understand. In other words,
okay.
they're very soft on...
You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
They're very soft
on...
They're very soft on bringing out any negative pronouncements against anything. That's brought out really well in the movie, The Big Short, where, the guys that were selling the subprime real estate market short, the home sales were failing and the repossessions were going through the roof, but still all these rating agencies had them at AAA rated, and their bond prices were going up, so these guys were getting devastated that took the negative side, and then the Lehman Brothers began to break, and then they all made billions after, but they were only some weeks away of losing their entire betting thing on that, because Moody, these rating agencies would not fairly change their rating to what was actually occurring in the right before their eyes, and then that's brought out very brilliantly in the movie. It's really. But in any case, so my point is, here's Moody's, who is one of the most owned players in the world. This way, they never make outrageous statements till they're forced into it. And we're coming out preemptively here saying this on a Tuesday, mid-morning here, regarding maybe on one bank.
This is the entire U.S., the entire American banking system is now negative.
That is unprecedented. And
yeah.
I hope all your listeners start paying attention to that and really understand what that means. That means I'm not saying we will be, but could be weeks away from a massive, massive blow-up deterioration that's unfixable. I mean, we're in a situation that's unfixable. The debt behind the U.S. dollar and our country is unsustainable. It's unpayable. And there's massive risk and social upheaval is waiting on the other side. And so we're always saying, please get all your investments out of any type of counterparty risk.
Whoa. Get your investments out of what?
Out of any kind of environment that has counterparty risk. If you have
what is counterparty risk? What does that mean?
It means that you could just lose it. I mean,
okay, you're exposing yourself to risk that is very dangerous. All right, I get it.
Very dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, that's not necessary. It's just immediately your bank could be shut down for any host of reasons. Or, we had a client who told us today he was getting ready to wire to us $45,000, and he moved that in two batches of cash, and he's a good client, and put it in the bank to wire to us. It was seized by the bank permanently, and they said he's going to need legal representation. They considered it possibly
Whoa.
A criminal. This guy is a business owner back in Pennsylvania. This happened today.
Oh my.
This is what's going on. Also, coin dealers, independent coin dealers that take cash, and we don't do that anymore because we don't need to. We were for a while. Two of them, large ones in the Omaha area, both in the same week, received a notice that their banks were shutting them down permanently. They had 10 days, remove all funds, and that was the end of it. And they were not going to give them an explanation. That's already happened to us some years ago, 3 years ago. That's already happened to us. We're hearing this all over. They can't do it to the big boys, you know, because they take all money on credit cards and bank wires and checks. But dealers are handling cash. Coin dealers, pawn shops, that sort of thing, they're under big assault. The banks are cutting them loose, and they're having trouble finding other banks that are willing to step into the vacuum there. So there seems to be, this is going on all over the nation. We're hearing stories like this. It's truly remarkable. I mean, these are breaking as we speak. So I'm just saying...
That's a big... Can I go back to that? One of your clients, one of your business... clients, yep, tried to move a sizable amount of money in two chunks today. The money...
Over 2 days. He deposited
2 days.
$25,000 one day in cash and 2 days later, preparing to do a wire twist for $45,000.
And the money was taken by...
out of his account and seized, and they put like a lien on it inside their bank, right away.
I wonder how.
Like
all right,
committing some major kind of crime, like a big drug deal or something.
This is suggestive of a widespread new policy, and I'll bet he's not the only one by any stretch of the imagination.
Absolutely true.
So they're stealing money from the American public right now to try to cover up some of the terrible liability that they've assumed. And what have they assumed? They have basically taken on the burden of guaranteeing every American depositor who's got money in any bank that their funds are completely safe. Now, this is a big, big deal. And this has never been done before. I've never heard of it. So they're going to make as much funny money as they need to cover every single depositor in the United States who has money in a bank. All right, let's play with this. How much is on deposit in banks in the U.S. approximately?
Okay, based on reading, after we talked this morning, I did a lot more investigation, and right now it's about $23 trillion.
Whoa! So this alleged government, has now guaranteed $23 trillion. Of American deposits in American banks and savings and loans. This is astounding. Now, the whole FDIC, which is supposed to cover these, has only, I understand, would you tell me, $150 billion total? And you're talking about $23 trillion exposure.
$130 billion. That's about 1/88, whatever that is. It's like 1.4% or something, 1.2, I don't know. It's a fraction of the money in these banks.
So the FDIC is a joke. Forget it. So now we put But officially now we've put the good faith of the U.S. government now behind all the deposits of all Americans and all banks. So that'll prevent a total bank crash. Without that, we might have seen hell on wheels right now. We probably already are. But they're going to make up as much money as they need to, Mike. They're going to just print it out of digital keystrokes
It's going to be incredibly inflationary. Incredibly inflationary.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have no choice. They have no choice. There was about the smaller banks have issues. Now, let me tell you another story. Nice client in Northern California, nice little town in the mountains northeast of Sacramento. And he's heard us on the program. He bought a bag of silver from us, and he went to his bank. He's a small bank, and he owns a business, and he has a bank there, and he wanted to wire. I think he bought a half a bet. No, it was $12,000 or $13,000. It wasn't a significant amount of money. And they told him that their current policy was they were restricting wires to $2,000. He goes, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm getting real worried. I got $100,000 in this bank." I want to wire out $13,000. And they told him, no, well, sorry, but that's our policy. We're limiting wires, I think, to $3,000, period. And he goes, he calls me and said, then I told him, all right, I want to take it out and some cash out. And he said, well, we could do $5,000 a day. He said, here's the deal. I don't want to start going public and putting some bad press on you. Give me a cashier's check today for $13,210 or know the reason why. You're not going to like the result. You can try it on somebody else, you know, in Joe and Susie Lunchbox, but you're not going to do it to me. Give me this check now or I'm going to go to the local newspaper about this. So they did, very begrudgingly, and they said, real smarmy and snarling about it, his money, you know. And then he put it in an overnight envelope and sent it up to us with his apology. He said, nothing to apologize to us about it. This is the reason precisely why you're buying gold and silver. He already got his delivery. He said, I'm working on it right now. I get my money. I want to buy some more. But I'm not going to go through this BS again. I mean, we're here, you know, we hear this stuff going on every day. This is going on all over the country. It's been going on for some years, but now it's getting more intense and it's getting meaner, if that makes any sense. You know, I mean,
I hear it. I heard it in your description. It is getting nasty. Oh, yeah.
It's getting nasty.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
In other words, all right, I would suggest from what I just heard from you and this gentleman and the other guy, my God, they $45,000 they impounded, they stole it from him. They'll play with it for as long as they want. Then they'll maybe offer him 90% back at some point in the future or some other attenuated program of compensation.
He'll have to get an attorney. Yeah. That'll cost him $8,000 or $9,000. He'll get it back in 6 months, hopefully.
This is disgusting. And, okay, the smaller bank that we just talked about, obviously the smaller banks are leveraged because of fractional banking, and they don't have the ability to meet their customers' needs should there be a run. They don't. Now, the feds are saying, well, we'll cover it. We're going to cover it. We'll cover it. Don't worry. Fine. But go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's there was a run on smaller banks, on hundreds of them, on Friday and even Saturday. And now, of course, and then even today, continuing to after they announced this program, the banks are going to be protected. All the big banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, said they've been overwhelmed with multimillionaires moving money into the largest banks in the United States. And normally, I mean, when they open up a new clients like that for millionaire clients, they want to vet them and it takes a few weeks to get them all set up, right? Because they're doing a lot of money. Now, J.P. Morgan and Citibank said they're gonna remove any limitation. Just you want to count here and you want to put in $12 million, you can have it right now in an hour. And they're being completely inundated. There's hundreds of billions leaving small local banks going into the big five today. Almost of this was planned, this whole thing. Almost, so people freaking out, and they're mid-sized companies moving all their money to the big five because they think they're more substantial somehow than this smaller bank. Now, this bank that went bankrupt, taken over down in San Jose down there, Silicon Valley Bank. They were the 16th largest bank in the United States. They had $209 billion in assets, which is nothing to sneeze at all. And all their clients, of course, are really high-end venture capital startup companies, mostly in the tech, almost entirely in the tech industry. And, their management was incredible. First of all their president, their CEO, their CFO, and their top number three bank manager, a woman, all sold. It wasn't just the CEO. They all sold a whole bunch of stock in 10 days before this thing went down. They dumped. They took millions in stock payments.
I go back to my earlier statement at the beginning of the hour. The Zionist network will take care of their own. Period.
You know, speaking of that, Jeff, back when I was studying some economics in the 1970s, I had a brilliant economics professor. I took some classes at junior college. The guy was one of the smartest people I ever knew. He said they did a study in the black community in Harlem. So let's say a person cashes a paycheck, they get $100 right. a week back then or whatever. You know,
right.
How long that money rotates within the black community? How long does it stay there before it leaves?
Right.
And then they did the same as in New York City. Then they did the same comparison in Brooklyn, which was 50% Jewish, and $100 in the Jewish banking establishment or in that culture rotates at least 1 to 2 years before it departs. In the black community, averaged less than an hour before it was gone. and on somewhere
Oh, that's funny. That is
control.
Really funny. Oh, they take yeah. those people and put them in the ringer and just drain them. There's no solidity.
It's absolutely horrible.
They're considered to be just utterly expendable and disposable. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
like,
not a
yeah,
surprise, but it's funny to hear. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It was
and there's nothing, dear friends, if you're new to the program, there's nothing anti-Semitic about this. It's a fact.
No.
Facts are facts. Go ahead.
Okay, so the point is that this terrible problem that supposedly that occurred has turned in suddenly to a major boom to the big banks, because now they're getting tens of billions of dollars of new deposit that was trusted to mid-level or smaller banks around the nation. So this is going to force, this is creating artificially way more concentration of wealth in the upper echelons of banking in the nation than it was even 3 days ago by many multiples. This is what's happening as we speak right now. People are afraid, and they no longer don't trust our local little bank or credit union. Let's run over there and put in Bank of America where it's really safe, you know, that kind of idea, which is just a joke. Because we'll get to that in a minute here, a little later, but in the next half an hour, if you want me to do that, we're going to go into the bond
yeah.
system, how it works, and what really caused this, so the listeners can get a grasp on what's really going on here as far as risk to the banking system and why it's so. I mean, you know, why that is. And it's a little, you know, it's not complicated, but I'll do my best to try to explain that after the hour a little bit.
Very good. No, I think that it's important to understand that what's the Carlin line? It's a very exclusive club, and we ain't in it. That's the Zionist banking club, and the Zionist political club, and the Zionist entertainment club. And come on, they run the whole show. And look,
in the
let me finish.
Department,
hold on.
The five highest players. The five highest players, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the State Department, are all dual citizen American Israeli.
Absolutely.
Israel.
Look, here's the deal.
That's a fact.
They're very proud of their accomplishments. I understand
sure.
that. No other group has pulled off such a coup. They run the world, and there's nothing anti-Semitic about that. It's a fact. 0.37% of the world population, something like that. 0.37% of the world population identifies as being Jewish. It's something like that. It's crazy. Anyhow,
yeah.
Look, I tip my hat to them. What they've done is astounding, the amount of control, whether it's entertainment, whether
yeah.
it's big-time sports. I don't care what it is, big medicine, big science. Look at the names. The names tell you the story. It's all there. So understand who your masters are. And if you want to do any further research, read the Talmud or read the protocols. It's all there. It's not a big secret if you want to look. All right. And again, I'm stunned at what they've accomplished. So I do tip my hat to that, no matter who it is. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. It's just staggering, all of it. Michael, hold on. We'll be right back with another half an hour.
You got it. I'll catch you.
All right, stand by.